So come, Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be truth one of these days. One of these days, He's coming. As we say, He's coming either by the clod or the cloud. Amen. So I'm looking for Him. Paul was looking for Him. I'm looking for Him. Genesis chapter 15 this evening. Genesis chapter 15. Brother Tony wanted me to mention anybody that's going with them to Morningstar needs to see him right after service. So just remember that. Genesis chapter 15 this evening. Again, we're studying through the book of Genesis slowly, just verse by verse, sort of, just trying to learn some things as we go. Boy, I enjoyed our teaching last week. We'll say a little bit more about that as we go this evening. But Genesis chapter 15, look with me in verse number 13 this evening. Verse 13 says, "And he said," this is God speaking to Abram, "he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, once again to speak to our hearts this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this precious book. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts, God. Help us to see, God, not what we think, God, not what we've been taught, but God, just help us to see what saith the Scriptures. And God, just help us, Lord, tonight to really desire, God, to hear from you, Lord. And God, we just thank you, Lord, again for your blessings. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. We'll be with our young people tonight. Got a good number of young people over there. We thank you for that. We just ask you to bless there. And God, just move in a special way, Lord. And we'll thank you for that. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Just to back up a little bit, we looked last week, and again, we've looked at Genesis chapter 15 now, I guess, three times, if you're a third time, I think. And so much to dig out of this, but we looked last time, and boy, it's just been a help. I got to use it a lot, even as I got to talk to people last week. It's just, you know, what God puts in front of you as you study the Bible, how God will let you use those things. And what a blessing it was to see Abram here just minding the Lord. And again, we know how Abram here is, he begins a sacrifice, you know, and again, that great agreement that between Abram and God that we see here in chapter 15, and how God makes this promise, and we're going to spend time looking at that tonight. But Abram here sacrifices these animals, and as soon as he sacrifices, we spent time looking at this fact that instead of the blessings of God, that's what most people run on. You know, well, you know, I'm going to deal with God. You know, I'm going to do right, so God's going to do right. And we try to rationalize out how God is, and we can't do that with God. God doesn't work that way. I'm glad God blesses, amen. He blesses me more than I deserve. But Abram here, as soon as he sacrifices here these animals, what happens? If you remember, if you were with us, the vultures, the fowls of the air come, and we spent time looking at that fact of how when we do things, you know, the devil's always, and I don't like to give the devil credit, but, you know, it seems like a lot of times when we think we're going to do something for God, I've seen it happen so many times with men when they surrender to preach, or missionaries, they try to serve the Lord, they get discouraged, they get downhearted, things just don't go the way, you know, you think. When you serve the Lord, everything be easy. But that's not the truth. You can't see that in the Word of God. It's always a different than that. Paul, you look at the Apostle Paul and all the things that he went through serving the Lord. It's a challenge. It's trouble. There's hard times because it's opposite of where we're at. We've always got to remember we're not at home yet, amen? We just sung about the Lord's coming, and He's going to get us one of these days. This ain't home. We're on foreign ground this evening. We're not in a safe zone yet. But we saw how Abram, as those vultures came down, how Abram did not turn and run, how Abram stood there and through the darkness, through all that was taking place there, how he shooed away those vultures away from the offering that he sacrificed to God. Boy, we need to do that. We need to realize, hey, I've given my marriage to the Lord. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to stand there when the evils of this world come against it. I'm going to run them away. I'm going to do all I can to stand. I'm going to sacrifice, or I'm going to give my family to the Lord. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to fight for my family. Don't just give in. Don't let the world over. And we're living in that day. again, we see so many things that are pushing against truth today. With all the opposition that's coming in, especially with this deal with the LGBT and all that mess there, you know, the movie stars are saying we're not coming. The pop stars say they're. I'm glad they're not coming, amen. They can keep their money. I don't need that stuff. Our country don't need that stuff anyway. But it's right to be right, amen. And you got to draw that line in the sand. And we saw some things there, and we looked at that great thought here, how God gives this prophecy to the seed there about the seed of Abram, and we looked at that fact just a little bit about how he talks about that furnace and how that lamp and how the furnace, it deals always with the sufferings and the afflictions with the nation of Israel, and how that lamp symbolizes Israel's deliverance. And all through history, all through the Word of God, you see the nation of Israel, how they go through these times of sufferings and afflictions, how God steps on the scene and how God brings forth and delivers them. And it is over and over, and we looked at several things there last week. Well, this evening, we want to go just a little bit further and look at the verses that we read tonight here in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 13 through 16. We mentioned it last week. God here in Genesis chapter 15 does something with Abraham or Abram at this point. He gives him a covenant. He gives him his word about something that's going to take place. And we'll get to that here just in a minute. But again, so many people don't realize as they study their Bible, and I hope this will be a help. It was a help to me. You know, we believe in dispensations around here. We believe the Word of God is divided up. And that's just a fancy word for dispense. Dispensations, you'll hear, you know, are you a dispensationalist? And you think, I don't know, what does that mean? Well, the word dispensational basically means how's it dispensed, how's something dispensed. And we can look and see how God has dispensed His Word or is the workings of God throughout time, and how we're living in that church age now. But again, you've got to understand your Bible, how to rightly divide the Word of God. Again, we spent time last week at the very beginning, if you remember right, how we talked to how there's promises to the nation of Israel. And does anybody remember? This will be your pop quiz tonight. That scares everybody. Anybody remember what we talked about when you're studying your Bible, when we looked at that inheritance? What's that, when it talks to what? It's dealing with the nation of Israel. Land, property. Anytime you see that promise of land or property, it's not to us. This, like I said, this ain't home. I got a home prepared for me in heaven. God's not promised me land here, but He has to the nation of Israel. And we looked at the fact that there's promises to the nation of Israel, and there's promises to the church, and you can't intertwine those things. Now, there's some of them that you can look at them and get great understandings. There's great teachings there. But when you're dividing your Bible, you got to realize when God promises something to the nation of Israel, He's not talking to us. And the same thing for the church. So you got to be able to divide your Bible correctly there. And we're going to see some of those things tonight. One of the greatest things I hope tonight that you get a hold of, and one of the things that most people today don't get a hold of in the church house, is simply just believing God. Well, I believe God. Do you? Do you believe God as long as you can understand Him? Or do you believe God? I believe God if I understand it or don't understand it. That don't mean I'm perfect. That don't mean I don't wonder and ponder a lot of things. But I'm just saying this evening that I hope tonight, and this is the greatest to me, what we're going to look at tonight, I believe, is just a reassurance of our day that when we get in our Bible, and that's, again, another problem, we need to get in our Bible. And when we get in our Bible, as we read these things, as God shows us things, man, you can hold on to these things. Well, preacher, I don't see how God's going to do that. Let me ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand. It's a Wednesday night. I don't ever take things for granted. There might be somebody here tonight that's lost. You might be here and you don't know the Lord's your Savior. If you don't know the Lord's your Savior, I pray that you get saved tonight. But I'm going to say the majority of people tonight would say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Explain that to me. Explain to me how God, as Jesus talked to Nicodemus over there, you must be born again. Explain that to me. And I know what everyone in here, including me, will say, well, this is what... But you can't know that. Why do you think the Lord told Nicodemus over there in John chapter 3 there, It's like the wind. Anybody seen any wind today? No, you didn't. You saw the effects of wind, but you didn't see wind. Did you feel the wind? Where'd it come from? Where'd it go? Well, I don't know, preacher. Then what about your salvation? How can you explain that? I can quote some scripture, and that's right. But when it all boils down to the bottom, when it all runs out, is simply believing God. It's got to be. And that's what that tonight, and I had a conversation with a man last week. I talked for almost an hour and a half to this man. And we rolled around that ball 10 million times and we kept coming back to the same problem. Well, I don't believe. That's the problem. How can I don't know. What was his trouble? Himself. So, and I hope tonight we can get a hold of these things, because that's the basis of our Bible. That's the basis of our belief tonight. So let me read a couple of places. Hold your place there in Genesis 15. We're coming right back there. But look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, we like to use our Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in your pew. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. These are a couple of verses that I want to give you tonight. It'd be good verses to mark in your Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. Look at it with me. Don't trust me. Look at what the Bible says. For some of the promises of God in him are yea. Oh, did I read it wrong? That's what some people say, though. What they understand, they'll believe that. If they don't understand, they'll take it out of the Bible. No, the Bible says, the Word of God says, verse number 20, let's read it right this time. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Well, the preacher promised we'd do this. Well, the preacher forgets, and the preacher gets busy, and the preacher don't always do what he says he's going to do, not because he don't try. Surely y'all broke a promise before. But I can say tonight, God's never, nor will he ever. All the promises of God. So what's the trouble then? We don't believe him. Look with me one other place. Look over in the book of Titus. Most of you know this one. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, look at verse number 2. In hope of eternal life. What's our hope tonight? It's not Trump. It's not Ted Cruz. It's not Hillary. It's not Phil the Burn. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before what? The world began. For all the promises of God are yea and amen. Then in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So, what we want to try to spend some time tonight looking is the fact of what God says He'll do. He's going to do it. So what did He say He'd do? That's a big question. When you study your Bible, and again, God says, what I say I'm going to do, and that's what we're going to look at tonight here in Genesis chapter 15, because that's what God did. God did made a promise to Abram and the nation of Israel of some things. And we're going to look at those things tonight. There are seven things He promises Abram here in Genesis chapter 15. And I'll go ahead and take the cat out of the bag, all seven of them. Guess what? He did it. He promised him seven things, and guess what? He did all seven of them. Why? Because all the promises of God are yea. And there's a God that cannot lie. So, when you're studying your Bible, now I know this is a trick question. This whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, all 66 books, has a common thread. Now, instantly we want to say Christ, and that's true. But this whole book has one thing that it's doing, and it's a Hebrew book. It's dealing with a group of people known as the nation of Israel. What about us? We have a place in that. Right now, we're that one that's been grafted in. He set the nation of Israel to the side for a little while. But it's still to do with the nation of Israel. Our purpose as a church, He's building the body of the body of Christ. And I'm getting ahead of myself. What's it leading to? It's leading to bring the nation of Israel back around. So you've got to understand this whole book. It's got the nation of Israel in mind. So when you look at your Bible, and I hope this will be a help. If you don't get this wrote down tonight, you can get it with me and I'll give them to you. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, there's eight distinct periods, if you want to say that, of Jewish history through Genesis to Revelations. And I want to give you those because the first one is what we're looking at. The first part of the Jewish history goes from the call of Abraham until the time of the Exodus. So that's the first part we see of the nation of Israel. Again, it's all about the nation of Israel, but it's divided up into these eight sections. The first one is the call of Abraham to the Exodus. And then the second one is from the Exodus to the death of Joshua. The third one is from the death of Joshua to the establishment of the monarchy, or when there was a king, and that king was David that sat on the throne. So we go from the death of Joshua to when David's put king on the throne, and then we go from the place of David as king, or the institution of that monarchy there, to the time of captivity, from David to when there was no king on the throne anymore. And then we go from that period of captivity, or we go from monarchy to captivity, to that captivity period, that time that the nation of Israel was in captivity, and again, Israel being there in Chaldea and Judah there in Babylon. So that was a part of the nation, or the history of the Jewish people, is that captivity time. And then from the time of captivity, we go to a place of restoration, from the time of restoration to there about Acts chapter 7. And during that period, I mean, there's a lot of things happening there. That's, again, of course, the nation goes back, rebuilds, the temple comes back into play. We know that Christ is born. We know Christ lives, Christ crucified. What happens? Stephen stands up and tells what they just did. You know, this is the king. This is your Messiah. What did they do to him? They killed him. Peter stands up, says, look, you just crucified your king. So that's the end of that part of that distinct area of the Jewish history. And then after that follows what? After Acts chapter 7, that part of the Jewish history. Why? Because That's the place of a turning place. What happens? The church comes on the scene. So the church age is the seventh part of the Jewish history. And again, the Jews are set aside. God is perfecting a body for the church. And then the church is getting out of here. So that's the end of the church age. And everybody knows when that is, right? When is it? Catching away, the harvesting. And then what happens after that? The eighth part of the periods of the Jewish history. And again, that's that second restoration. That's that time of tribulation. That's when God's going to do what? What's He going to do? He's going to bring Israel all back together. And the nation of Israel will be once again, forever. Who's going to be their king? He is. And that's the whole gamma of the Jewish history. And it runs from Genesis all the way to Revelations. And in each one of these places, I was thinking of our... Back when we did our study in the book of Romans, if you wasn't with us, we studied through the book of Romans. It took forever. It's like the book of Revelation. It's just like the book of Genesis will, but we're just doing verse by verse. If you remember back over there in Romans, around Romans chapter 11, 12, 13. Now, we use those verses a lot, don't we? But again, Paul's talking about that nation of Israel and the things that God promised to the nation of Israel. And what God has promised to that nation, guess what? He's going to do it. Why? Because all the promises of God are yea. And there's a God that cannot lie. So these are the eight. Let me throw this out to you. Most of us know. I use it every once in a while. In your Bible, as you and again, this is Bible study night. In our Bible, numbers have a very significant place. Everybody knows what the number seven is. Well, I will say most everybody knows. What is the number seven? Completion, perfection. You know what the number eight is? New beginnings. Eight periods of Jewish history, always to bring what? A new beginning. They were birthed into place here in Genesis. They're going to go all through this whole process for what? A new beginning. And that's what we're going to see. So, again, we know God cannot lie. And here in Genesis chapter 15, we'll move quickly this evening. Here in Genesis chapter 15, in these verses that we read, verses 13 through 16, God tells Abram seven things. Promises him seven things. And we're going to look at, now again, this is the very first thing, the very first part of the Jewish history here when God calls Abram from here all the way up into that place of the Exodus here is the very first part of the Jewish history. So let's look at these seven things here tonight. Verse number 13, we find the first one. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety. I can't get past that. Know of a surety. Remember what we just looked at with Abram? Remember, not last week, but the week before that, how we studied the very first part of this chapter and how Abram comes to that place and he's dealing with God. God, you promised me a seed. You've promised me an heir, and I don't have any children. My wife's getting old, and I guess my family's going to be run by this servant that I've got here. And God says, come here, boy. He takes Abram out there and says, you see all them stars? He says, your seed are going to be just as many as that. And we see again, chapter 15 is full of first mentions. For the first time, we see this thought of a man being counted for righteousness. Why? Remember why? He believed what? He believed God. He didn't believe Abram could do it because he just got through saying, Abram can't do this. And God says, Abram, you can't do that either. And Abram says, you're right. and it was counted to him for righteousness. So here again, verse 13 says, he said to Abram, know of a surety. And that tonight, church, is something that you and I, we've got to get back to this. We've let so many things, people, again, I read a thing today. And I know it's on my mind, and I get my little soapbox moments, but this mess with the LGBT and all this, I forgot. It's like less than 1% of our country or our state is even in agreement for this mess. But guess what? They're loud. They're of a surety in their mind that they have a right. And the biggest problem with the church today is we've let people get loud and we've let people say, well, this is what I believe, and we don't know what we believe, and we don't have a surety to get a backbone. I'll never forget, it just comes to my mind. Remember the Time Warner guy? Most time I'll listen to somebody. But when I'm a surety of something, I'll bump noses with you. And that guy came in here that day. We was having trouble here at the church. And I guess he figured I didn't know nothing. So he was trying to blow smoke and tell us that the problem that we was having was we were putting electricity back out on their circuit. I wanted to call him stupid, but I didn't. He was trying to go home. I said, you hang on, buddy. I got my meter in the truck. Let's go out here and see. Why? Because I knew what I knew what I knew. And he wasn't going to change what I know. Well, preacher, them Jehovah Witnesses came to my door the other day. I didn't even go. I was scared of them. You know why most people are scared of them? They know more than you do. I ain't saying what they know is right, but they've been taught a lot. They have a surety. They'll stand and they'll say what they've been told. And I don't know, for you that's been around, we've been here, it'll be 11 years in May, I've always said, why do you do what you do? Why are you a Baptist? Why do you carry a King James Bible? Why do you believe what you say you believe? Well, that's what Mom and Daddy said. I hope Mom and Daddy was right. But if they're like me, they probably weren't right on everything. God tells Abram, be of a surety. In who? Not Abram. In God. All right. That's that soapbox. We'll move on. Verse 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed, that's what we're talking about, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. So the very first thing that God gives here in this promise that we're going to look at, seven things here in this prophecy of God that God tells him. He says, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. So what's God talking about? He's talking about Abram's seed. God's promised them a land. And then, again, for the majority of us tonight, we know this story. What's he talking about? He's talking about Egypt. And we know the story how Joseph was sold into slavery, and Joseph was working there in Potiphar's house, and how Potiphar's wife makes that pass at Joseph, and how he runs but leaves his coat, and how they arrest Joseph and put him in prison, and how Joseph gets out of prison and begins to be that great leader there in the nation of Egypt, and then that famine hits the world, and then the nation of Israel, what happens to them? They get hungry. Egypt's got food. So where do they end up? They come down to Egypt. They come three times. Third time, guess what? They stayed. So all the Hebrews ended up the seed of who? Abram ended up not in the land that God had promised, because they were promised the land. And that's what the very first promise says. He says, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land. See, it's talking about land that is not theirs. And all that's dealing with what? God says you're heading to Egypt. And look at all the time that took place between when God told Abram this fact to the time that Jacob and Joseph end up and the nation of Israel end up down here in Egypt. Man, God's pretty smart, ain't he? So there's one. Click. He got that one right. Well, I bet that's just a coinky dinky. Well, let's see what else happens. So the first thing God tells Abram, says your seed's going to be a stranger in a foreign land. Second thing, notice what he says again, verse 13 says, "Be of a surety, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." Check, did that, and shall serve them. Ain't that what happened? They went down there, got food, went back. Came back. We know the story of the cup and all that, how all that fell into place. Got food, went back, come back, brought the whole crew, and they ended up in Egypt. And then before you know it, they're serving the nation of Egypt. So what does it say? Of a surety, they come into a land that wasn't theirs. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're at the next point of make mention of this. Well, let me hold off on that. I want to make sure I want you to get a hold of this fact. Because we're getting ready to look at one of the... If you do any witnessing, and you should, if you talk to people about the Bible, they're going to say, well, you know, that King James Bible, there's a lot of things in there that ain't right. So when somebody tells me that, I usually say, well, can you show me one? Because the majority of them, now some of them will say, well, yeah, look here. But the majority of them say that's just been told that and they ain't got a clue. They just use it for a good excuse, but it's not a good excuse. But we're getting ready to look at one of the things that a lot, I've been thrown this one before. I've always been, you know, I might get out knocking doors and somebody might give me something that a curveball and messes me up for that one time. But I make sure I go back home and figure out that won't happen again. They might stump me the first time, but they won't stump me the second time on that one. They might stump me on something else. But we're getting ready to look at one of those, what they say is a discrepancy. That's it. But let's look at it. The first thing that God tells you, you're going to be a stranger. Check. Second thing, you're going to serve them. What happened? They got down there. Everything's hunky-dory. Jacob and Joseph, everything's happened. Joseph's good in with the Pharaoh. What happened? Pharaoh died, didn't he? Joseph died. Guess what happens? Happens all the time, still happens today. Things got a little tough in Egypt. That bunch of Hebrews is doing this, their fault. Why does everybody pick on Israel now? Same reason. And the nation of Egypt began to have problems, and the first person they turned to was some Hebrews. So they put them in captivity. They put them as slaves. They were brickmakers, so they were serving them. So that's the second thing. So that's our second thing that got. How did it happen? God said it was going to happen. He said, he's going to be a seed in a foreign land. You're going to serve them, and it happened. Third thing, what does it say? Look here in verse number 13 again. It says, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. Here's the next one. And they shall afflict them 400 years. Were they being afflicted? Sure they were. They were slaves. They were brickmakers. They were beat down. And God says, I'm going to do that to you for 400, or you're going to be that way for 400 years. Look over in Exodus chapter 12. You know, you ain't got to make it. I've known people that do this. They'll run into a something that don't sound right, and they'll try to make excuses for God. try to explain it away. You don't have to do that. Look how precise this book is. Look over in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 40. Exodus 12, verse 4 says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Well, see right there, preacher? That can't be right. God said they'd be there 400 years. And then he said, here it'd be 430 years to the day. So is that a discrepancy? Sounds like it though, don't it? That ain't what God said. What did God say? You're going to serve them 400 years. But they were there longer than 400 years. Because they had that period of time that they were in good shape with Egypt. They were living there, dwelling there. Pharaoh even gave them their own spot of place over there. Y'all hang out over there. We'll take good care of you. You're Joseph's people. We're going to take good care of you. But that Pharaoh died. The tides turned. And they were there in the land of Egypt 430 years. But they served under bondage for 400 years. How'd that happen? That's what God said was going to happen. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. God made a promise to Abram. He said, your seed's going to be in a foreign land. And it was. He says, you're going to serve them. And they did. He says, you're going to be afflicted 400 years. And they did. God said it. What's the next thing he says? Look on. He says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land. There was. And shall serve them. They did. And they shall afflict them 400 years. To the day, it says over there in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And boy, did he. He judged them. Remember all them plagues? The frogs, the blood, lies, all that. The death of the firstborn, God judged. Remember what happened when the nation of Israel left out? The army of Egypt went in after them. What'd God do? Drowned every one of them in ankle deep water. I've heard people say, well, you know, that part up there about God bringing them across the Red Sea, they had to do it up there on that upper end. That's the shallow end. I said, boy, that makes it even better. They look at you funny. What are you talking about? Anybody could walk across that. I said, you're right. But not anybody can drown the whole army in it, though. But God did. See, that's what people try to discard God. They try to outthink God. I'm trying to get you to see Abram believed God. And God says, Abram, this is what's going to happen. Believe it. And it happened. Just like God said. And God judged that nation of Israel. And then the fifth one, I like this one. I like all of them, but this one here just amazes me. Look at the fifth one here. Again, verse 14, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and they did, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. They didn't have the lottery in that day, so I know they didn't buy a lottery card. Where was this group of people just coming from? They just come from making bricks in the mud hole. They just come from taskmasters daily beating them down. They will come from a group of people that look at that nation as nothing but dirt. And God says, Abram, this is what's going to happen. Your seed's going to go down there. You're going to serve them. You're gonna be in bondage. You're gonna be afflicted. That's the word. for 400 years, and I'm going to judge that nation, but when you come out, what's he say? Look at it. He says, you're going to come out with a little money in your pocket. With great substance. Isn't that a wonderful thought? How in the world? That makes no sense. You got to think about where they're coming from. That makes no sense. This is what excites me, though. One day, I don't know how it's going to happen. One day, if the Lord doesn't come back, I'm going to die. I watched her mama. Her mama was a beautiful lady, sweet lady, godly lady. I watched her mama go from a very healthy, beautiful woman, godly woman. I don't know what your mama weighed in her good days. 125, 130 pound lady. I watched her body go all the way down to probably 70, 80 pounds. Cancer just destroyed it. But when she drew her last breath on this side, we rejoiced. Because she came out with great substance.
Yes, sir.
Is that not our blessed hope?
Yes, sir.
Is that not what? Look, I don't know what's going to happen in this world. We all want to live comfortably. We all want to have good health. But listen, I can go day after day in the promises of God. Listen, this is the worst I'm ever going to have it. On my way out, when we just sung that song, he's going to take me by the hand. I'm coming out of here a whole lot better than what I left.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying. But how does that make sense? Because God said, hey, Abram, you ain't going to see it, but all them seed, they're going to end up in a foreign land and become slaves. They're going to be beat and beat and beat and starved. But I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to judge that land. And then he makes this statement. Look at it. He says, they shall come out with great substance. Look over in Exodus chapter 12 again. Two places. I want to look at Exodus chapter 12, and then I want to look over in Psalms 105. How can that be? How in the world could a bunch of slaves living in bondage for 400 years of slavery, how could they come out with great substance? Look in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. This is the craziest thing. Now let's think about what's... Before I read this, look back up here at me. You found your place. Look back up here. I'm getting ready to read you some verses. Before I read you these verses, I want you to sort of get in your mind what's just taking place. Here's a nation of Israel, the Hebrews. God sent a man in by the name of Moses to bring his people out. We know that story. So they've been in bondage. They've been down in Egypt 430 years. They've been in bondage 400 years. They've been slaves. They've been beat. They've been breaking brick. They're starving to death. I mean, just oppression. Now, God sends his man in and tells Pharaoh, let my people go. And we know the story that Pharaoh did what? He hardened his heart. And God says, that's okay. And we know that God sent those plagues. Water into blood. The lice, the bugs, the frogs. What was the last one plague that happened? Anybody remember the last one? Now, y'all act like you don't know this story. Come on. This ain't a trick question. What's the last one? The firstborn. It's the Passover, remember? God tells Moses, hey, get you a lamb. Great picture of Christ. The death angel's coming. Every firstborn is going to die. And that night, guess what? The death angel came. There was a great cry across all the cattle's dead. All the animals are dead. That night the death angel comes and babies and people die. The firstborn dies. A great wailing in Egypt because all those people are dead. That's the situation. Now listen to this. Look at verse number 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such thing as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Wait a minute! Your God just killed my baby! Your God just destroyed our nation. But here you go. I got some silver. I just want you to have it. Hey, hang on. There's some more gold. Let me get some of that too. That's what God did. Preacher, that don't make no sense. You're right. But every promise of God is yea. And God said over there in Genesis 15, He says, I'm going to bring you out with great substance. How could that be? I wouldn't give them nothing. You're right. But if you're letting God live in your life and God's guiding you, you'll do what God says. Let's look at one other place. Look over in Psalms 105. Hold your place at Genesis 15. We're coming back over there. Look at Psalms 105. Verse number 36. Psalms 105, verse 36. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Did you see that? Here's a nation of probably over a million, and God's bringing them out with great substance. And look what he says there. He says, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person. How in the world could that be? These people have been beaten. These people aren't eating right. These people are slaves. How could it be? Because God said that's the way it's going to be. And that's how it was. Jump down just a little bit. Look at verse number 42. How can it be? For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Where's all that run? It runs all the way back to what we're looking at in Genesis 15. Because God said to Abram, this is what's going to happen. Now, I didn't make mention of it in our announcement time. I forgot to write it down, so I forgot to say it. But we're just coming off our faith promise missions. We preached Sunday about, you know, Aaron and Hur and being that helpmeet to the man of God. And some having compassion, making a difference. And talking about that's what missions is about. Missions is about making a difference. How's it going to happen? How can I afford to give more? How can I give to missions? That's the reason I tell you to pray and ask God what He'd have you do, because if God tells you to give a dollar and you give a dollar, He'll make the dollar there. Because God's promises are yay. I guarantee you, and I'm not puffing, and I'm not preaching on money. I'm just saying this now. I don't know how it works. Mama, tell me how, and I'm not puffing us up. I can't talk to nobody about what y'all do. I don't have no idea who gives, who don't give. I just know what we do. Mama, you go back and look at our life. How in the world could it ever be? Because we've just allowed God to funnel it through us. And God's kept His promise. And God's never failed us. But preacher, what if it falls apart? Am I trusting me or am I going to trust God? That's what I'm saying. This evening, how did it happen? That's what it says. For He remembered His holy promise to Abraham, His servant. So again, tremendous. How did it happen? Just believe God. I don't know how it's going to work out. Just God says it's going to be that way. So He told Abram. 6, go back to Genesis chapter 15 real quickly. We've got to move. A few more things with this great promise of God to Abram. So far he's batting 1,000. Told him your seed was going to be a stranger in the land. It happened. Said they're going to serve him. They did. Said they're going to be afflicted 400 years, right up to the day, and he did. Said he's going to judge that nation. He did. Said you're going to leave out with great substance, and they did. Verse number 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. He promises Abram that he's going to go in peace and he'll die in a good old age. You know how Abram had died? Well, let me show you. Look in Genesis chapter 25. It's amazing how man wrote this book. Yeah. Told Abram, you're going to go to your father in peace, and you're going to die in a good old age. Genesis chapter 25, look in verse number 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, and 103 years. Verse 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a... Ain't that funny? How'd he die? In a good old age. Now, who in the world would have ever thought to put that in there again? He died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. How'd that happen? Because God said it was going to happen. God says you're going to die in peace, and you're going to go to your father in peace, and you're going to die in a good old age, and that's what happened. God said it. So let me ask you something. Why can't we just believe God says I have eternal life and say I got eternal life? Why? Because God said I'm going to have eternal life. God said there's going to be a street of gold. How do I know that? Because God said it. And the promises go on and on and on and on. Why? God said it. That's what I'm trying to get us to see tonight. God said it. And that's what he did, David. Last one this evening, we're done. Notice in Genesis chapter 15 again, verse number 16. Again, we're still batting 1,000. Wonder if he'll mess up on the last one. Verse number 16. This is the seventh of the seven promises that he promised Abram here in Genesis chapter 15. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God says your seed's going to go down into a foreign land. You're going to dwell there. You're going to be in bondage. You're going to be persecuted 400 years. He's going to judge that nation. I'm going to bring you out with more than what you ever had, great substance. You're going to die, Abram, in a good old age. But don't worry. He says, I'm going to bring your people back out. Oh, that's good, God, but when? Well, let me just tell you when. in the fourth generation. Not the third, not the fifth, but in the fourth. I wonder if God did that. How do we know? Well, let's find out. Look over in Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, look at verse number 16. And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations, Gershon and Goloth and Merariah. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The son of Gershon, Libni and Shimei according to their families, and the sons of Goath, Amram and Ishar and Hebron and Uzziah, and the years of the life of Goath were 133 years, and the sons of Merariah were Mahli and Mushi, and the families of Levi according to their generations. And Aaron took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses, and the years of life of Aaron were 137 years. Who brought the nation of Israel out? What was that guy's name? Come on. It's not a trick question. I'm just trying to get you to see the Bible is the Bible. Who did God find out there on the backside of the desert? Moses. Fourth generation right there. He says, in the fourth generation, I'm going to bring them back. And we know the story. God sent Moses up there and says, let my people go. Nope, ain't going to happen. But God said it will happen, and it did happen. Now, all of that, what's that got to do with us, preacher? God's made each one of us a promise. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He says, if you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. Now, what are you going to do? Well, preacher, I believe. I believe a lot of things that ain't right. There's only one thing that I can believe that I know that'll be 100% right. It's the Word of God. God said, you believe that, preacher? It's the only thing I can believe. How you getting to heaven, preacher? I'm believing God. 7 things that God told Abram here in this great prophecy. All 7 of them, God did exactly. Exactly. What he said he would do. And guess what? He said he's going to prepare a place for me. He said if he goes to prepare a place for me, he's going to come again. Why? That I can be with him. I'm just going to believe that. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you live here in this old stinking world. I don't care. Have all you want. I bet I'm right and you're wrong. It's amazing. If we just learn to believe God. But preacher, I can't explain it. Great. If you could explain it, you would try to make it man doing it. I can't explain it. How can God take something that's dead? I said I was going to die, and I will. If the Lord doesn't come back, this old body's going to die. I have no idea what funeral home you'll use. It doesn't matter. Probably Butch Johnson's in Statesville. They're going to roll me in there and do what funeral homes do, and she'll take whatever suits you. I won't be buried in my overalls, but I won't have any say in it, but they'll put a suit on me and lay me in a box and put makeup on me and make me look as best as a dead thing can look. That's the best man can do. But God can take a dead thing. He don't just put put some makeup on it, put a good suit on it.
Yes, sir.
God takes a dead thing and gives it life.
Amen.
I think I'll just believe God.
Yes, sir.
I hope you'll just believe God. Amen. Let's stand together this evening.